This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
Good morning to you, and to you, and especially to you on this wonderful day of love.
With the unview,
where we're thin, the rich, and the fabulous, and the lovers.
And the loveliest.
The loveliest. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day to you.
Oh, what a day of love and happiness, and to all those people that love each other. We just want to, this show we're dedicating to love and to relationships and to families and just, you know what, I understand it's commercial and people say, oh, we hate Valentine's Day, I get it. But you know, Nathan, isn't it cool that if you don't have other days where you say to someone you love them, at least today you can.
Yeah. That's cool. I don't know why people don't say it more, and it's almost weird that we need a day to remind us to even phone your mom and say, I love you, you know. Just do it.
So to the love of my life, I love you.
Is that your mom? Yeah, as well. To the love of my life as well, I love you.
I love you, Nathan. Right? Love you dearly. I went on a date with my dad last night. We went to go see Nick Rabinowitz.
Oh, fantastic.
We went for dinner. And, I told you, love comes in many forms.
It does, yeah. Of course.
We've got a great show lined up, and I've got to tell you, we're going to open the show in a moment discussing something called the Anthem Project. And this is, I think, one of the greatest loves, because one of the greatest loves in my life is South Africa. And I love our national anthem. So I think it is so important for us to embrace our national anthem, to embrace our country, and to love our country. Mm. So I think this is a great initiative by Media 24. We'll chat to Miles Brown. We're going to also chat to Daniel Barron. He's going to be on the way to the airport. We're going to sing a couple of songs. And his new album, his new hit is out, called Speed of Light.
Fantastic.
And then in studio, we've got the one and only Nick Rabinowitz.
Ah.
I think we've got a great show.
Yeah. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be some comedy, some love.
There's
some crooning.
There's nationalism. It's the love for country.
Yeah,
it's
the love for
country.
A
lot of love happening. A lot of love. But do you think we should sing a little song, or should we go straight to Miles Brown?
We can sing a little bit of a song. Do you think we should have a little bit?
I think
a musical intro.
I think we should intro the show. We get everyone else to sing. So I think Nathan, will you take this away? We thought we'll dedicate this to the loves of our life. This is where it goes. Live in studio, Nathan Rowe, take it away.
I grew my hair just for the song.
Romeo is bleeding, but you can't see his blood. It's nothing but some feelings that this old dog kicked up. Been raining since you left me, now I'm drowning in the flood. It's always been a fighter, but without you, I give up. I can sing a love song like the way it's meant to be. Well, I guess I'm not that good anymore, but baby, that's just me and I.
Oh, it's so high.
Love you, baby. Always, and I'll
be there
forever.
Yes.
And a day.
Yes.
And just yes.
And a day. Yes.
Always.
I'll be there till the stars don't shine. That is just a...
Till the heavens burst and the words don't rhyme. I know when I die, you'll be on my mind.
Happy Love Day. We've never rehearsed. That's never been practiced before.
No, we should have practiced that because I would have realized that was
really
Bon Jovi. I think when I was singing it in my head, I was like,
"Cause when you like,
and I will love you,
love you always. We love you always." That's the whole point. On the line, this is, I think, one of the nicest initiatives for the past few years, and I want to welcome him to the show, the one and only Miles Brown. Welcome to CliffCentral.com, my friend. The Anthem Project. Let's love South Africa. Welcome.
How's it, Alan? How's it?
It's so good to have you with us, and welcome to the show. Today we're speaking about a day of love, and I think the love for country is also one of those things that we all have to have. Congratulations. How did you come up with the Anthem Project?
Alan, thanks, man. So back in December 2017, The Economist publication named Nkosi Sikelel the best anthem in the world. And we thought it was a great opportunity to build on that and create something special within our country. And so we came up with the idea of the Anthem Project sort of early 2018, but it obviously took some time to put all the measures in place to launch the initiative.
When you think about our national anthem, of course, being one of the best in the world, it because it combines so many cultures, so many languages, so much history, I guess. But I think ultimately it comes to one point, and that is, unto you, South Africa, Nkosi Sikelel, God bless Africa, the love for South Africa. And that's what the whole point of the song, is it not?
That's exactly it. And I think one of the remarks that the guy that The Economist made was, It's a musical act of healing, and exactly that. So it's got so many different languages in it, and it's sort of an opportunity for everyone to come together and unite as a nation.
So how does it work? So first and foremost, because we went online and we've seen a lot of choirs and quite a bunch of, like, for example, the Indlovu Youth Choir sing a song for you guys. We've seen quite a few people do this for you. Firstly, explain the mechanism of the Anthem Project.
So we've got a bit of a staged approach. The first phase of the campaign was to launch it. So we kicked up a bit of a fuss. We got a couple of local musicians to partake. Have you seen the promotion?
We loved it. Jimmy Nevis was there. We saw
Craig Lucas.
Craig Lucas. We saw people like
Siv Ngesi.
Siv. We loved it. I thought it was great.
So that was kind of to help us launch the initiative, and then we're calling on our readers and your listeners to partake and engage and share their renditions of the anthem. So we built a website so people can upload videos of them singing the anthem, and it can be anyone. It can be anyone from we've seen a lot of little children come through, which has been beautiful. We've got a couple of schools coming through nicely, which is good, and hopefully they're going to challenge their rival schools to take up the core. And it can be businesses, it can be corporates, it can be just anyone in South Africa.
So you know, we've got a great show on the Unview, and I'm saying this because we have got the best entertainers in South Africa coming to the show, both locally and abroad. For example, we had the whole cast of Chicago in last week, and we had we've had some great people.
We had ABBA.
We had
the ABBA
guys from Australia.
Michael Jackson.
We had Michael Jackson, the impersonator. Could we please, could we like get them to each do a line and record it and like stick it together? And could we do that for you? Can we enter that way?
That would be beautiful.
I'd love to do that. Should we do that?
Absolutely.
Daniel Barron.
Yeah, Daniel will do it. We're going to get Daniel Barron to do it. And of course, he'll gonna do our opening line for us.
Great.
That's exactly. We've got Daniel Barron on the show today. And Nick Rabinovitz has got to do something as well in a bad bar mitzvah voice.
We would love that. And we are trying to make this as inclusive as possible. So we don't expect people to go out and have heavy production crews. A lot of the submissions are coming through are recorded on their phone.
No, we're going to do it on our phone. We're going to do it on our phone.
Absolutely. That would be beautiful. We look forward to receiving that entry.
Okay, which is phenomenal. Now, the entries close the 19th of April. It's just before Freedom Day, before Easter. And you've just got to go to the Anthem Project website. Give it to us. It's
www.anthemproject.news24.com.
Okay, news24.com. But worst case scenario, if you don't know how to spell or you forget all that, just go to news24.com and you can click on all the buttons there.
Absolutely.
You'll find it there.
There's a lot of information on the News24 homepage, and you can navigate through there.
Craig,
and sorry, just to add, the second component of the project is every Wednesday morning we are publishing a new rendition of the anthem, and that's where we're getting a lot of the choirs. We had the Cape Town Philharmonic Orchestra. That's where you would have seen the Ndlovu Youth Choir, and we publish that every Wednesday. And then it's kind of just a great opportunity to promote, obviously, the initiative, but also to be patriotic and to instill a bit of pride in the country on a weekly basis.
Well, this is important. The videos, the winners will be announced in May, on the 17th of May. It's around the elections. The video will be judged on how we show national pride and how Correct. You show your sense of Ubuntu spirit and caring for your fellow South Africans, showing creativity, enthusiasm, inspiring the nation, and yeah. showing public support, and ultimately how much you love, and this is Valentine's Day, love South Africa. That's, I think, what this thing's about.
That's exactly it, yeah.
I also want to just say the following, that this is really important to understand. There will be three winners that will share a cash prize of R1 million to go to their favorite charity. It's a pay it forward, which I love. I love that. I love it's not going to be for yourself, for your own back pocket.
That's exactly it. So it's we've got a look. I think if you don't mind, I just want to also a big thank you to the team at Outsurance. It was our concept, it was our initiative, but they really have come to the party to make it all possible. And that's it. We're looking to pay it forward. And we are really, really chuffed with the number of submissions that are coming through, in knowing the fact that they're not going to win anything for themselves. It's really just an opportunity to pay it forward to a local charity in your community, or to people that maybe need it a bit more than you do.
Miles, we're going to be catching up with you probably over the next couple of months to see what's happening. So you and I will be in contact. We'll be Brilliant. Chatting with you a lot. We look forward to, at Cliff Central, to creating something fun for you. And if we do win, because you know we all want to win stuff. I mean, we'll make sure that one of the other winners will get the money to go and give it to their charity. And that's the whole thing, guys. It's just about nation building and love for South Africa. Again, a shout out to Outsurance. We always get something out. They haven't paid for that, but thank you for doing it. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah,
but it's excellent. Miles, I want to thank you. Be good, my friend.
Thank you for the opportunity to chat, and obviously just encourage all your listeners to get involved and partake in the fantastic initiative that's doing good in the country.
Congratulations to Media 24. Great project. Thank you. The Anthem Project. Go and see
Thanks.
The Anthem Project, media24.com, or just go to media24.com. They've got great stuff always on their website. Good news, good stuff, good finances. It's all great. Bless you. Cheers, Miles.
Thanks, Alan.
Cheers, brother. Bye. I love it. Great project, eh?
Can we actually listen to that Ndlovu Youth Choir? Because I've worked with the Ndlovu Youth Choir, and they are amazing.
Let's hear it.
The version of the anthem means a lot to me. It's really special. We try to combine the two songs and make it one. And we try to put some youthful feel in the song. It's something different, something special that nobody has ever heard, and they'd love to hear it. And I cannot wait for the world to hear it.
Yeah.
Love it. The Anthem Project. We want everyone to join in. This is great. Thank you to News 24 Outsurance. Go and enter online. And remember, it's a share of 1 million rand that goes to your favorite charity to three winners. And I think that's great. I love them.
How amazing are
they? How amazing is that?
And they're young, hey?
As a group.
Young.
I love that choir.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Media 24, Miles Brown, thank you very, very much. Again, happy Valentine's Day. This is cliffcentral.com with the one and only Alan Ford and Nathan Rowe. And we say we're the one and only because, you see, it's very important. Nick Rabinowitz, who's our special guest in studio. This is the Unview, where we're the thin, the rich, and the fabulous. We still don't know who's ever going to be thin. We don't know ever how rich we're going to be, but we're always fabulous.
He's quite thin.
You're thin.
Thanks, Nick.
Sure.
Who's Are you rich? Hitting on me because it's Valentine's Day? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. My wife is 2,000 kilometers away.
It's Hello. It's a
Who's
great
looking through the window?
That lady.
She's the chairman of Central.com.
She's blowing kisses now.
Yes, of course. Valentine's Day. Everyone needs
a
bit
of kiss. Yeah, it's Valentine's Day.
Have you heard of it? It's one of South Africa's most wonderful crooners, besides Nathan Rowe. And, of course, he's got a new hit out called The Speed of Light. Okay. And his name is Daniel Barron. And I have him on the line. And we're going to chat to him very quickly because happy Valentine's Day, Daniel Barron, and congratulations on your hit, Speed of Light. Dan, you there? Dan, you there?
I can hear the windscreen.
Coming through at the speed of sound.
I can hear
Dan, you there? Dan,
wipers.
Daniel Barron.
I am here.
We hear you loud and clear. Daniel, I was just saying your hit song, Speed of Light, is rocking and rolling. I said you're one of the biggest crooners in South Africa. You make love with your voice. Which is really brilliant.
Thank you.
You do, Daniel.
Thank you so much.
I know you're a
cunning linguist as well.
You're off to the
lyrics are great.
You're off to the airport at the moment. Firstly, tell us about the song Speed of Light. How's it doing? We're going to play a bit of it.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a very exciting day. I funny enough, decided last week to release the song. And it's out today. It's literally, I've just released it. So you guys are pretty much one of the first in the country to play it. So that's going to be, really, really honored to chat to you this morning. And basically about 3 months ago, I met a girl and I as the songwriter I am, I literally just documented how I felt and put it into the song and played it to her. She's heard it before, but today my Valentine's gift to her was
releasing it.
Yeah.
I love this. This is insane. What are you doing, Nick Rabinowitz? We've got Nick Rabinowitz in studio. I want to know, Nick, what are you doing for Valentine's Day for your wife?
He sent her 2,000 miles away, apparently.
Nothing.
Okay. Nick, good Jewish boy, what's wrong with you?
We don't believe in Valentine's Day.
We believe in love every day.
Yeah.
You and I are going to talk about Nick and the love feelings he's had since the age of five at the Waldorf School in Constantia. We're going to go through his love experiences in a moment. Daniel, we're going to play the song, but first we've got to get you to do a couple of things. What is your favorite love song?
Sure. My favorite love song has got to be between Journey's Faithfully and another beautiful crooner classic called That's All. Michael Bublé does a cool little cover of that. You know that one? I can only give you love that lasts forever. You know that song?
Yes, I do. I'd like to hear more of it. Go on.
Or a promise to be near each time you call. Say it's me that you adore, for now and evermore. That's all. Yeah.
Love it. That's over a cell phone. I mean, we've
Daniel Barron from the back of an Uber.
Traveling on the way to Oro Tambo Airport to Durban.
My Uber driver's looking at me funny.
And that's how he's supposed to look at you. It is love. You must be singing for the people of the world. And I'm happy that you've met love, and it's a good thing, Daniel, in this business. It's
Thank you.
Love is because it inspires a lot of wonderful things when it comes to music. Daniel, firstly, we've got the Anthem Project. You've heard about it. It's all over the TV screens, and of course, people singing. So what we're going to do here at the Unviews, everybody's going to sing a couple of lines of the anthem, and we're going to put it all together, and we're going to submit it into this competition, because I think it's a great project for the love of your country, which is South Africa.
Oh, obviously. Lovely.
So
lovely.
You're going to come into studio the next couple of weeks. Can we get you in?
Absolutely, with great pleasure. I mean, I can come in, yeah. Give me a shout and I'll be there.
We're going to have you in because I want him to sing in the studio. And prepare your favorite line of the national, the two lines of the national anthem, and that's what you've got to come and do here. We're going to film it and we're going to do something special with it.
Yeah, we've had some artists in the past forget the lyrics to the national anthem, so we're just doing it in little pieces.
It does happen.
Little bite-sized, you know, one line at a time pieces.
Yeah. Nick, will you join us in the project because you're here with us?
When is it today?
No, but just everyone who comes into the studio to do one or two lines of the national anthem.
That yeah, sure.
You can rap it.
You can rap it. You can do whatever you want.
I won't rap it. I'll sing it in a Chazona style.
Oh,
of traditional Jewish cantors going back 5,000 years.
Exactly. Like your bar me when you
exactly.
Were, okay, that's exactly what we're going to get
to. I'll sing it in a 13-year-old boy's voice.
Like the one where...
Kosi Sikele. Will that be okay?
That's exactly what we're going to get Nick Ravinovich to do somewhere. We'll pick a line for him to do. I don't know if we're going to get him to open the song. I just think it might be a little bit
needs
scary.
To come at a more poignant
point. We will find that point in a moment. Daniel, Speed of Light is great. Thank you for releasing it today. And what an honor to this love of your life, this Lass. And I wish you guys the best Valentine's Day. I don't think, will you be with her today?
I am flying to her in the next hour.
Wow. I love this guy.
Romantic, eh?
This is sexy. This is sexy. Yeah. Daniel, this is sexy. I'm serious. I'm happy. This is really cool. Daniel Barron, we're going to play a bit of your song. We're going to play it right now. It's called Speed of Light. Thank you for joining us, and we'll get you in the studio the next couple of weeks. Daniel Barron, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Cheers. Thank you so much, Alan.
What a star. What a star. Daniel Barron. Daniel Barron, it's just been released today in honor of his new love, where he wrote the song for on Valentine's Day. I think that he's so sexy. Yeah. You know, like Nick Ravinovich is our special guest in studio. Think how cool that is, that you release your song all over national radio, all over the everywhere, iTunes, Apple Music, what else? Spotify. Everywhere you want to get this.
YouTube, there's videos going up for it.
That is like the sexiest Valentine's Day. I think it's cool. And to write this, I think it's cool.
Yeah, it's quite, really cool. Quite a romantic.
You got to keep look. If that's going to be a long term relationship, though,
yeah, where do you go?
It's
from
quite hard, to keep the bar at that level. What's he going to do next year?
Yeah, sure. He's going to have to do a reality TV show like The Bachelor with a whole bunch of other women, but he can only choose her at the end.
What do you think of The Bachelor?
The Bachelor. I think he's quite attractive.
Do you know him?
No.
He's a very
the
nice
Bachelor,
person.
The show. The Bachelor.
Yes, the show, The Bachelor.
I would rather see the CakeNet version of The Bachelor. Well, there is a CakeNet version, isn't there? Bursukafro. Yeah, that's one of my favorite shows, actually.
It is great.
Instead of giving her a rose, though, he gives her a tractor and a clap at the end of the episode.
And don't talk nonsense. He gives her a blender.
A blender, sorry.
and a rolling pin. What is wrong with you? It's your. Hi, Nick Ravinovich. Welcome to the show.
Firstly, thank you.
Congratulations on your opening night. It was wonderful to be there. It was really fun.
I didn't realize. I thought it was just going to be like a little warm-up night. And then Daphne said, no, we've invited the press and the friends of the theater.
I know.
Yeah.
Every Yehudi is Jew. Every Jew And the aunties were all there. I mean, when Denise Golden came in and she waddled in to take...
Yeah. I heard there was some goyim there as well, hey?
It was like...
So.
Just dropping the G word.
Yeah.
So, it was, I mean, we love you, Denise. We do. We love it. Love it. And always in the memory of a good, beautiful Brett. But it was so great to see people from all walks of life laughing their heads off. I sat next to... his name was Lebo. And my dad, who's Lebanese, this side, so Lebanese and Lebo, and his wife. And I just
so heard, is the other guy Lebanese.
I just
all the Lebs.
I'm not gonna.
I was gonna go there, but
it's too cheesy for you. I took.
But
it
you
for
can
you.
Get away with.
Yeah.
He's the professional. You see. Yeah, he makes lots of money.
Yeah, Alan likes to just shoot my puns down.
Yeah,
so,
sometimes a bit weird because I don't get some of it. It's okay, but I got Nick. You see, Nick, I got.
Yeah.
You wrote this originally during the drought in Cape Town.
Yeah.
Which made it a bit difficult because there's no drought any longer.
Well, it's debatable, but the drought broke.
I was going to think that the fires were going to come into it.
Oh, the fires!
Maybe that's for next year.
Yeah, we'll wait for the fires. I've done fires before. There's not a lot to say.
Doesn't
with the
go
fires.
Down well.
You know, it's kind of limited to Facebook posts where some people are like, well, we need the fire because, you know, the fynbos, you need a fire every 7 years so the fynbos can regenerate. And also, it's very important, you know, for white people. When there's a fire, we get to meet our neighbors. We didn't know the Johnsons. We didn't know them until the fire. And we were on the street and we're like, oh, are you the neighbors? And they were like, yeah.
Also, they get to redecorate every 7 years as well, which is lovely as well.
Yeah.
Not just the fynbos.
Yeah. Oh, yokes are bad. Sure. Nick, it's called...
And there's the poster. There's the
exactly. It's called Dry White. It opened yesterday. It runs until the... Have you performed it in Cape Town?
Yeah.
How did that go?
2012. I did a month over December. Yeah.
So you just obviously it's called Dry White. Nick Abramowitz decides to explore the water crisis in his new show because everyone thought the drought in Cape Town was going to last forever. It didn't.
That's a spoiler alert. Yeah,
got it. And of course, it comes down to the fact that you talk about many other things like love, marriage, infidelity, transphobia, which I really thought was very how you played that trans thing was very good. Staying woke. It's a new millennial word.
Yeah.
What is when did we go into 2020? What will it be then? Are we still will they still be millennials?
Well, you should consult a futurist. Probably you should get
Dion Chang.
Dion on the show, yeah.
Dion Chang, the trend.
You'll tell us what it's going
to
be.
Yeah, because I'd love to know. Go back to 20 years ago, did you ever think that this is going to be your
what
life?
Was that 20 years ago? No.
When you were 23.
20 years ago, I was studying.
23. It was 1999. We were partying. Mm-hmm. Like it was 99.
Yeah, okay.
I was at UCT. Was I? Yes, I was. I was in my last year at UCT.
Studying?
Studying business science.
Of course, as one does, a good Jewish boy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Playing cricket. Drinking quite heavily.
Mm-hmm. As one does.
As one does. I was growing a marijuana plant outside my parents' bedroom window, which we harvested and lived off for months.
Did they know that you were doing
your
that?
Parents.
Yeah, sure. It was
course,
outside the window.
Of course, because you went to Waldorf. So yeah, they would. Yeah, they were more.
They were quite accepting
of this. Okay. Yeah.
And so, yes, I'm there now. Ask your question.
So, okay. So, go back 20 years. Did you ever think that you're going to be on stages all over South Africa doing comedy?
No.
I mean, that's. Because that's the coolest thing. How did it start? I mean, where did you realize you firstly, where did you think? Did you think you. Were you a clown in school?
No.
Okay.
No, but what I used to do was I collected stories. My godfather was he wasn't a comedian, he was an actor, but he had great stories growing up on the West Coast. Many of them were in Afrikaans. And
your godfather was, you told us last time.
Yeah, his name was Percy Seif. Mm. And I used to start taking friends camping because we lived on a farm 20 minutes from school. But I spoke about it in the show. And then we used to have these campfires way up on the mountain. We nearly burnt the forest. We nearly burnt the whole mountain down once.
But you didn't have any flare guns.
We didn't, no. And I used to tell them these stories. And they were, English-speaking kids for the most part didn't know what I was talking about. But they were high on whatever.
En dan ben ik, ja, de verschillende tijd dat we de zon achter de bergen wegkriep. En ik ging de dag gaan jagen in koude bokken via samen met mijn man Jonas. En toen keek ik aan, ik aan de zin, nee, blavers, oh. En ik keek daar maar, ik zit twee groot oor van de leeuw in zijn spieren, wat zo hakken. En zei, sprang, vat ik met twee lopende aalgeweer van mijn opa Groeik. En ik schiet hem tussen die oor en dan maak ik zo, wauw. Mijn vader gaat vrek op mijn voeten en toen kak ik mijn broek vol.
En ik heb een brief, ik ben er nooit toe.
Yeah. Well, Ellen and I are laughing. We don't even anything.
Listen, I'm going to the fiestas tonight in Cape Town. My Afrikaans has become quite good doing shows on CakeNet.
So that's kind of where I kind of practice, just, you know, joke telling, and
people would laugh.
Things like, yeah, they were
stoned, and no, we in the studio in the audience, well, 90% weren't stoned last night, and also found you funny.
Well, yeah, but I mean, then I went actually traveling with a theatre company. I graduated, and I had a girlfriend who decided to go off with another guy and go on with a Land Rover through Africa, which was kind of like, I felt very resentful. So I managed to get a job that was better than that, where I got paid to do that, and traveling around with a theatre company. And then got really into theatre. I wasn't allowed to do anything, but they let me like drive the car and do the accounting, and I dug a few long drops as well for my boss.
This is unbelievable.
Yeah,
you deemed
and tents. I put up the tents. You I did the serious. Lighting. I had a like 6-track lighting box about this size, and we do shows in the bush. We did a show once in Mound where the frogs were louder than the actors, and I had like I had 6 lights, and we set them up in the bush. The crocodiles were there, and the hippos, and the frogs, and we did like a whole show, traveling theatre company.
Who was your audience?
The audience animals? Was local, quite people a few audience. Safari operators, because then we would try and sell. We would train local villagers and give them a play, basically, develop the play with them, and then they would go and perform that for lodge guests and try and create some income from that.
That's incredible.
And I collected loads of stories during that year, and then the year after I started doing stand-up.
Take us to your first time on stage. Yeah. Where was it?
It was a little venue in Cape Town called the Armchair Theatre, which I think started in about 1999 as a comedy venue. It was called the Cape Comedy Collective. And I'd never seen stand-up live. I think once I'd seen something in Grahamstown, but I didn't understand that there was stand-up. So it was literally the first time I got. And I did 5 minutes. Did 5 minutes as a Zimbabwean donkey wrestler called Jabulani Ndlovu.
Do you remember it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember it. Yeah, I came on stage with a toolbox and yellow washing up gloves.
And?
And did my 5 minutes in character, which would now be probably called blackface, if I did it now.
Right.
But I was Jabulani Ndlovu speaking about, he had these small Maltese poodle hunting dogs, which were quite tame and meek, but if you blew... Zol, if you smoked a Zol and then blew the smoke up the nostril of the donkey, of the Maltese poodle, then they would go mental, and kill shit. And if you did the same to the donkeys, they would actually fly. And so he had an idea to launch a low-cost budget airline called Donkey.com, which never got off the ground.
Oh, man.
I cringe when I look back. I found a tape of it the other day.
Really?
Yeah. I was like,
great, we'll use it in one of the TV shows.
No.
We'll do that.
No.
We can.
No.
Nick, coming back to this interesting life, I mean, when you studied, Bachelor of Business Science, did you want to be an accountant? Did you want to go into business? Did you want to be that Jewish boy?
No, look, I grew up with, you know, parents who were quite alternative. So my mom was kind of an architecture student before she got pregnant, and then they had like a gunshot marriage, as my Hungarian friend used to call it. And then and my dad was a potter. He left accountancy at the age of 40 because it gave him a rash, apparently. And he took up pottery, and he was a potter he became a master potter. Until he was doing it up until his death,
and literally. He let you grow it outside his window as well.
And then Potter, we're talking about clay.
Yeah, he walked, through the forest to get to work, and it was an idyllic upbringing. So I grew up with that, but also the uncertainty of having, you know,
and they're Cape Town Jews. They're Cape Town Jews.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just
saying. My dad was actually from the Namakwaland.
Okay,
he was a Boereyoot from the West Coast, but it was. You know, tricky financially. to make a living from pottery in the 1960s and 70s. And it took him a long time to get established. So they were like, go get something, go get a degree you can fall back on. And I don't think I ever really thought, I mean, I did think, yeah, maybe I'll go into consulting and try and get a job. But it was never for me.
It's not, you know, you can be built to do these things and you can study and you can be learned. But if you're meant to be what you're meant to be, then it's meant to be. I know that's so many meant to be's, but it's a great thing because generally you'll be led in the direction you should. Otherwise, you won't be happy.
No, I would be very unhappy.
What does your wife do? Because I know in your discussions you went on business 2 weeks to California.
Oh, right.
So I thought it must be IT or software or something.
No, she's actually being trained to facilitate a personal development transformation kind of healing workshop with women. Mm-hmm. And they operate around the world. And so she flies off to Hawaii or England or mm-hmm. France or wherever I can afford to fly her. To do these things for free and meet Ryan Gosling in the hotel. And
which is the best part of this whole show.
And she owns a health center, so she actually is a retired GP. But she's, I think she's going to start practicing. She might specialize at some point, but she's looking around for what to do. But she's with, she spends a lot of time with our kids, and that's what she's up to.
And you have three?
We've got three kids.
Three kids. Okay, which is great, and I'm sure they must think you're the best fun dad, because I mean, is there truth in that comedians are actually quite serious at home, and that's a performance on stage.
Yeah, I think.
Or are you fun?
Definitely. No. I think that. I mean, even like talking to you guys now, people are like, oh, when's he going to be funny? When? And I definitely have quite a serious side, but I think at home. We do have a lot of fun. And actually my boys, they're now 9 and 6. So they're really getting into this idea of, we actually had this thing the other day. We were in town and we were at a family thing and I was like, okay guys, what are we gonna do now? Let's go on an adventure. And they were like, Dad, talking other languages to people, just talking other languages. So they're getting into this idea and they're like, just talk English to this guy. I was like, we are talking English, yes, but talk like an English.
And, so they'll love you.
The car go and I'm like, all right, mate, you look out of the car, we're going to have a camera. And they're like, yeah, Dad. And I'm talking Hungarian to this guy. God, the shaker, how much for the car? You want 20 rand? Yes, no, it's outrageous. And Adam, the middle one, is actually starting to be, he's got good delivery. He's starting to, at the restaurant, and they were like, what's the name of the restaurant? I said, the Dog's Bollocks. And they're like, what's Bollocks? And then I had to explain. And then I was like, just ask the waitress if it's on the menu. And then he calls her over and he goes, excuse me, do you have the dog's testicles on the menu? And why did the chicken dinosaur cross the road? And she's like, why? And he said, because the chicken hadn't evolved. And
that's actually really good.
And then they overhear stuff that I think they're not getting. Like I was
I love that actually.
My mum actually told me the other day, she said this thing, and my dad used to say, your mother has a penchant for hyperbole. Which means she can exaggerate stuff. So she came to our place and she's like, I went for tea at the Romanian consulate. High tea. I was like, yeah. She's like, we're getting Romanian passports. And I was like, what? She's like, your great-grandfather was born in Bucharest. And I was like, I've never heard of this, right? So I figure I'm going to go and find out. I go and meet these people at the consulate. And they're like, your mother is very entertaining. And we believe your great-grandfather is born in Bucharest. We will get your passport. And you must come and have a braai with us. You know, in Romanian, we call a fire, it's called a foc. And I was like, really? He's like, yes, in Woolworths, other day, our sons walk past the braai section. He says, Daddy, let's make a fuck. And then my kids, of course, overheard this. And then a few hours later before Ben, let's make a fuck. No, that's the wrong context.
The one and only Nick Rabinovitz.
But I just got an email, and they've now found my great-grandfather's something or other records. And so I might get this Romanian passport.
How exciting.
To remain here.
To go to Romania. Or Romania.
Yeah, whichever I choose. Either way.
Nick Rabinovitz, great comedy, lots of fun. I did an interview last week with Reedy Dereka.
I was just thinking about what she's up to now.
Her mom hasn't been well, so she didn't go to America, but her mom's on the mend, right. So she's going in the next couple of months. And we did a great interview on CakeNet where she spoke Afrikaans. Actually, it goes out tonight, 6 o'clock, for Anandanga op CakeNet, channel 144. Don't miss it.
Afrikaans is heel klimaal.
I know, from a Santon boy Lebanese.
Right.
It's baie goed. I'm so happy. It's, but you have to when you do Afrikaans programming. But she's, I said we're going to have you on the show, and she said, wow, she loved having you with her.
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, it was really fun, and she said it just made her week. So she sends her regards. So that's really Dereko, Ritabe. Lots of love to you.
Thank you.
Coming back to talking about something that you said, I want to ask you, because you were married before, yes. Nathan Rowe, and you were in a long-term relationship, and the Celebrity Hall Pass, you've heard of the Celebrity Hall Pass?
Yes, the list.
The list, yes.
Tell me your take on it.
My take on the list.
On how the Celebrity Hall Pass works.
Well, it's a weird thing because... In the industry I'm in, you do meet
certain celebrities,
so yeah. it's a bit of a weird one that it's possible. And then would they be okay with it? Yeah, I mean,
as in, would your partner be okay?
Yeah,
or they? Who's they?
Yeah, well, I mean, my partners at the time they said they were okay, but then
they did. So yeah, I put
a local celebrity on, and then that was apparently a no-no. So
it's exactly what Nick did.
Oh, so you actually had an actual list.
Yeah, everyone has a 5. I think it's a list of 5, yeah.
And so you had like 4 Hollywood people.
And one actress.
Who was the local?
No, I can't say.
I actually know who the local is.
Hey?
It starts with a K. It
does start with a K.
I know it is. I know it is. You'll know
and
who
then
it is.
You swapped lists, and she was like, no, you can't have Kanye and Bao on the list.
Yeah, basically. She said you're not rich enough.
And did she have
was your wife cross with it? Did she make you take it off your list?
No, yeah, well.
Because you see,
well,
I know you would have come across this person.
She came back with, okay, well then I'm adding Mark Boucher. And I was
Mark
like.
Mark Boucher?
I was like.
Was this before the injury?
Before the injury, yeah. When he was.
Interesting.
Yeah, just before the injury.
So the gays have a list. My people. And it's an interesting.
Are you allowed locals?
Well, you see, we have the list of the. If they were a woman, who would it be? Who would
if
you?
If they were a woman,
no, okay, so, right. So who would you break? Your celebrity hall pass. Who would you break away from men to flip to the other side to be with women? I'm number one, Oprah. I want to sleep with Oprah.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. Okay. Barbara Streisand.
In which weight category?
Barbara Streisand.
Jesus.
Shut up.
My goodness.
Barbara Streisand and Najella Lawson.
Najella Lawson.
You see those?
Yeah,
that's a good one. So you see, we do that one. So like the gays have like don't have this. Like, this
I can. So yeah, what, I mean, I would put Ryan Gosling definitely.
You see, his wife would Ryan Gosling. So who would you put on your gay list?
Ryan Reynolds has always kind of been on there.
Okay.
Yeah, he's a very attractive man.
I love this.
But just personality, I once had a dream about him where we became friends. It wasn't a sex dream. It was just we hung out, and it was the best night of my life.
I had a dream like that about Julius as well.
For real. And you hung out and you were friends.
Yeah.
And did you feel good, or did you wake up with heavy breathing?
No, I felt good.
You could just talk to Gareth. They are friends. So we can always set it up. You can be mates.
Yeah.
Do you know Ryan Reynolds?
Not personally.
No, but does your wife know Ryan Reynolds?
Is on her number one is Ryan. I spoke about this last time.
It's brilliant because a lot of people didn't understand what that Celebrity Hall Pass meant. And I love that you use Tom Cruise walking through his old school as
I don't know where
that came from exactly, but it's a good example. But the question is that when you said the one statement about I wasn't sure if it was Tom Cruise was dealing with a boy or a girl at that particular stage through the hall. So that's a whole
nother.
Who knows?
Yeah.
That comes back to that trance, what is the word that you
trance
say?
Party.
Transphobia?
Transphobia.
Yeah.
You know, because all the phobias. And transphobia, exactly, the fear of trance music. Exactly what he did.
Trance parties. Trance music. Yeah.
You have to see the show.
And it also depends on the what kind of streams you're taking, who you're taking them with.
He did it, and there was a youngster in the audience sitting next next to his dad. Leonard was the father, I think.
Yeah.
And he just knew exactly what you were talking about. And my dad was going, what are they talking about? And then till Nick clearly said, when you take ecstasy and acid and you mix it together and then you only like,
that was actually my first experience at a trans party. I got there and my friend was like, you need to take this and this together. And it's called candy flipping.
Candy flipping?
Yeah.
Sure. And what did you think? You thought it was going to shoot some
heroin? I thought it was like an overdose on like a packet of sherbet or something. Too many sour worms.
Yeah.
Nick, the show is great, and I just tell you, people are going to laugh their brains off. It's really fun.
It's quite nice in this intimate space because I've been doing it in a big theatre, and actually, I think a lot of this material lends itself to the intimacy of.
You played beautifully off the audience, but also it's so cool when the audience play back or they have something to play with. For example, a black guy with the name Gandhi. I mean, sitting next to.
Koketso, who had a birth, yeah. She hasn't converted to
to Hindi,
whatever it is Hindi. Yet. But she had a birthmark like where the bindi is meant to be in the middle of her forehead, which I actually thought was a bindi. And then she was sitting next to Indian people who named her during the show. They gave her like an Urdu name.
Savita.
Savita, amazing. Yeah.
This is incredible.
So that's just gold, hey? I mean, as a stand-up comedian, I've seen stand-up comedians be like, you, sir, what do you do? And you're like, they're like, I'm an accountant. And they're like, okay, what's your name? Richard. You know, and then they feel they don't have anything to do with that, and then they just go to someone else. But when you get Gandhi sitting next to,
I've actually got two accounting jokes. I could have.
Oh, so you prepare for? Certain,
yeah, because I did accounts one.
What's the most boring job that you got nothing for? Or have you thought about that?
No, I haven't thought about it, but I've probably had a few. Things like quantity surveyor. What are you going to do with...
Is that
a guy who measures dicks? I don't know. Yeah. Like,
there you go.
Dicks.
Dicks, yeah. Dicks. Do you like my dick? Have you seen that ad?
I have seen that ad, yeah.
Yeah. There's a cider from the same country in New Zealand called Dickens. And it's like, there's nothing I like more than a Dickens cider, which is wonderful. Yeah,
I haven't seen that one.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I love you guys.
I have a question for you. Yeah. So Mel Brooks came out a couple of days ago with...
As gay?
No.
Oh.
With a statement that he's straight still and Jewish. And he was just talking about, you know, political correctness and comedy. And he was saying how it's kind of damaging... comedy and the way people kind of consume comedy. And then while I was reading it, I was kind of thinking, doesn't it make it better because things are more sensitive? So it's like an easier boundary to push against. I don't know, like what's your take?
Well,
I think you're right.
I think it does up the ante, kind of ups the tension in some ways.
So you can only say like a slightly naughty thing and you get like the same response that you 10 years ago, you had to like basically, you know, beat someone on stage, you know.
I guess. I mean, it's interesting to watch Ricky Gervais's new special. I forget what it's called. But he talks about trans and all the stuff and Caitlyn Jenner. And there's a lot more tension around it, which you need for comedy.
Yes.
You need that thing. I think we're fortunate here. Like in that theater last night, you could probably have... Because it's also the context. Mm. So if you're trying to do jokes on Twitter, for example...
And you have youngsters there, they're not going to...
You're going to get a backlash for it, and people don't get the context of certain things.
But the Jewish jokes hit.
You know, I posted yesterday this thing on Instagram from a previous show of mine where I played this character called Bertie Rabb, who was like sort of pretending to be my great-great-grandfather. And Bertie Rabb, I set up as... he says this thing, it's a quote from the show, where he says, people make assumptions about one's sexuality based on the silliest things. And when one is like me, charming and well-spoken and well-dressed, and one fornicates with a living manservant called Algy, people assume one doesn't like the ladies, when in fact, one does. And 75 people unfollowed me.
Really?
Really? Wow. Sure. That's amazing.
People.
And that's, I think, points to what you're talking about. Because the context is missing. People might have looked at that and thought, oh, he's quoting his favorite, you know, whatever. And unfollow this guy. Shit, I thought he was actually okay.
Okay. Now, this is what we're going to do, because we spoke about that Anthem project. Okay, so I'm going to film you. So all you're going to give us is, in South Africa, our land.
I just got to get my finest Honey G.
Give him a note. Okay, we're going to put
give
this
on. Note. Okay,
hold on a second. Well, in South Africa, our land. That's,
in South Africa,
I need a key.
Our
I need the key for that.
Okay, the key is.
In South Africa. No, I'm not going to do that. No, it's embarrassing.
Normal.
In South Africa, our land.
Beautiful.
So I had to get it. Now we've got. See, there's the first one for
I
the anthem.
Yes, so I want to run onto the rugby field and just tackle some guy now.
You know that's. I don't normally sing like that. I've only sung once in that voice, and it was a tribute to Joost that really? I sang. Tribute, inspired by his book, the title of which. I don't know, but I read his book in the Sunday Times. And there was a scene when he met Amor. And they went to a seafood restaurant and the seafood was off. And in the book he writes, "Sy het gepoep soos 'n perd." And it inspired me to write an operatic version of the book, which I co-wrote this song with David Kramer. Would you like to hear an
yes,
excerpt?
Yes, I'd love to hear it.
Oh, I can't remember it though. That's Amore. It goes to the tune of That's Amore. When the moon hits so I like a big seafood pie, that's Amore. If the oysters was fraught and you've eaten a lot, that's Amore. When the cock hits the fan and the springbok's your man on the floor, hey. Excuse me, but you see back in lovely Tswane, that's Amore.
Please tell me the song is called Pop Tart.
That's the title.
Pop Tart.
That's
yeah,
the title,
amazing.
Nathan. Oh, this has been fun.
Fantastic.
So much fun. Thank you so much for being with us in the studio. We're going to leave you on this wonderful Valentine's Day. We wish you a day of beautiful love. Please don't forget to get involved in the Anthem Project. It's Media 24. Oh, they're doing a great job. 24.com or Anthem Project. Media24.com, something like that. Daniel Barron, his song Speed of Light has just come out. Nick Rabinovitz is at Aura Daphne's Place. He's at Daphne's Place.
Yeah, man.
Of course. Aura and General Theatre on the Square up until the 23rd of February.
Correct.
What are you doing after it? Post.
I'm writing Valentine's Day poetry.
Okay, beautiful.
My love is like a red rose in Springs, Benoni and Brakpan.
We're just going to leave, but I think we're going to sing something. We've got a minute. Don't worry, we've got a minute.
You can sing with John Legend. How
go,
about that?
Go.
This is my voice.
What would I do without your smart mouth?
That sounds like
drawing me in and you kicking me out. You got my.
Have a great day. This is The Unview, the Thin, the Rich, and the Fabulous with myself, Alan Ford, and Nathan Rowe. We wish you the best Valentine's Day. Thank you, Nick Rabinovitz. Cheers, everybody.
Be thin, be rich,
and always be fabulous.
This is CliffCentral.com.